Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Johnson. Welcome to a very homeschool preschool. So yeah, I have three girls, and we've done, I have a fairly extensive preschool background. We've done lots of different options. And for this class, I thought what I would give you is, my background in preschool, and then talk about my general setup for preschool, and then I wanted to really devote a lot of the class for questions for specific application to your situations, because preschool looks so different for so many families, because sometimes it's your first and you're going all in, and sometimes it's your baby and it's a very last second thought, right? So so my background, I was an early elementary education major for like 5 minutes in college, and I really loved it, and I got an internship at a preschool. I worked at a Montessori school for a little while, and I worked in the preschool on BYU's campus for a little while. And that was so great for me because I got to see in two different like professional preschool settings just how different preschool can look. With our oldest, we were in a neighborhood and we did a Joy School co-op, and that was such a cool opportunity for me. If you don't know, Joy School is sort of a curriculum. It's not really a curriculum. It's a philosophy that emphasizes, rather than my child needs to know ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, more emphasis on my child needs to know that God loves them and how to find joy in life. And so Joy School was, I was actually a Joy School graduate myself from when I was like 4. And it was a really cool introduction into the preschool world as a preschool mom. We have also done solo preschool after we moved to Austin, and we just did it by ourselves. We have done preschool with like another, like one other friend, two other friends. We have done, I have studied quite a bit on Montessori philosophy, quite a bit on Waldorf philosophy. Right now we're kind of doing the good and the beautiful as our preschool, you know, thing. So when I say I've done it all, I mean I've really done the spectrum. So preschool in general can look however you need it to look. The overarching framework that I kind of like to adhere to is having a gathering activity, which is just something to get your kids to switch into we're going to do something kind of frame of mind. It can be something like pulling out blocks that they haven't touched in a few months. It can be something like, hey, we're going to play with Play-Doh, and that's kind of a way to signal that to their brain. Another fun one is having sensory bins with rice and like little, you know, toys in the rice. And it can even be something just like pulling out the Legos, right? It doesn't have to be anything particular. It's just, hey, kids, I'm going to get preschool ready. Why don't you guys play with this while I gather my things, right? So that they can hear and understand that that's going to transition their day. Following the gathering activity, when you're all pulled together and everything's prepared, I like to do a circle time. And a circle time is a great opportunity to do those repetitive things that kids learn best through repetition, like learning the days of the week, learning the months of the year, learning what a physical calendar looks like and how it works. During circle time, I like to talk about the weather. Hey, let's look outside and see what the weather's doing. People have charts. You don't have to have a chart. It can be just a verbal check-in. Pledge of Allegiance is a great time to do this. If you're working on memorizing something as a family, like the Living Christ or an article of faith, this is a great place to plug that in. A co-op mom of mine gave me this idea, and I haven't fully implemented it, but I think it's such a great idea. She likes to use this time to go over feelings. And so she goes around, you know, with her kids and say, hey, how are you feeling today? You can do that with a song. There's a song that's hello, Michael, hello, Michael, hello, Michael, how are you today? And then they get a chance to say how they're doing and tell you all about their cool transformer toy that they were playing with that morning and whatever. And then you can take it from the surface and go, how are you feeling? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling frustrated? This mom that took this idea that I'd like to expound upon, she has like a feelings chart, which not only has happy, sad, bad, but it goes into perplexed and confused and all these other feelings that we definitely feel, but our kids, especially our little kids, don't necessarily have the words to describe. And so she will pick a feeling of the day, and she will say, this is confused, and this is what confused means, and these are sometimes you might feel confused, and things like that. Does that make sense? It's just a really cool way to give them language to develop more emotional intelligence. So the circle time is a great time to do that. Also, a word of the day is a great place for preschoolers to expand their vocabulary is during circle time. So I like to do a gathering activity, move into a circle time activity, and then proceed to the lesson. Preschool lessons, depending on what you're using as a base, it can be, you can use letters to as a sort of framework for your year. Go a different letter each week, do activities and things, pull in subject matter that goes with that letter of the day. It can be theme-based, right? So you can do unit studies with these kids. Let's do a unit study on animals and then pick a different animal each week. The Joy School philosophy, it picks different feelings, like character traits, right? Yes, yeah, character traits to help the kids develop. So those are different ways that you can kind of frame your preschool year. One thing that worked really well that I really loved is when I did the Joy School thing with co-op with my oldest, it was a neighborhood thing. There were probably 10 different kids, and we had... it rotated each week, so we were at a different mom's house each week. The moms would drop the kids and go, so whoever's house it was at, they were in charge, right? But we framed it in six-week increments, and we did a six-week study on sea life, right? And each mom picked, oh, well, I want to teach about sharks. I want to teach about dolphins. I want to teach about the coral reef, right? So each mom picked what she wanted to teach about, and then the seventh week, we would do a field trip. And that was a really cool way to sort of frame the school year that worked really well enough so that when I was doing it by myself, I still kept that framework, and I did my own six-week studies with a field trip on the seventh week. Let's see. A couple other great ways you could do it. You could go countries. You can bring in food. You can bring in cooking to go with the countries. And then another great one is book-based. If you haven't heard of Five in a Row, that is a wonderful, it's not really a curriculum, but it takes these wonderful children's books that should be a part of preschoolers' lives, and it gives you some ideas of ways to teach the lessons that are taught in the book, different crafts you can incorporate, how to pull in things like the ABCs and 1-2-3s around that book. So that Five in a Row book is wonderful if you want to go more literature-based. After the lesson, I like to do an application, and that can be a craft that you can put on the refrigerator. It can be sensory bins if you're learning about the ocean, having some ocean toys with some blue rice, right? Or the Orbeez, right, with the animals they can play with. It can be videos, right? If you are learning about the human body and you can find a video that can show the kids in a cool animated way what happens when they get a cut and they bleed and how their body blocks up, stops up the blood, that's a really great application way for them to visually see what you guys were just talking about. Experiments are great. Physical activities, so learning if you have done study on a certain country, learning a dance from that country, learning handcrafts, right? So the finger knitting is a great one to go with, baking and cooking, and again, doing field trips. And then, of course, to break up the little preschool day, snack time is wonderful. Themed snacks are great. And dance time. Dance time is a staple at our house. You can dance to whatever's on the radio, or you can find these wonderful preschool activity songs that my kids love one. It's called Walk Like an Animal. And so they walk like an animal, and then it says, can you walk like a giraffe? You know, and they have to mimic walking like a giraffe. And so that's a really good way to get these little bodies moving. So I mentioned gathering time, circle time, lesson, application, playtime, snack, dance time. This really should not take more than an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And your lesson of that time should really be about 10 minutes long. That's about the attention span of most preschoolers. If you feel like you have to sit them down and teach this big long lesson and have all these things prepared, I hope you'll like take a step back and realize you know things in your brain and can communicate that to these kids. Take the time to prepare. Be intentional. Think about what you want to do. It does not have to be a Pinterest preschool, though. That's what I hope you understand. That's kind of the framework I like to have in a preschool day. But rather than really emphasizing early reading, personally in my preschools, I think it's more important to emphasize Heavenly Father, that He loves us and we love Him, right? So I try to always, if we're talking about the human body, rather than saying our bones do this, right? I say Heavenly Father made our body really smart. He gave us these amazing bones that hold up our skin. And did you know that if they break, they will heal? Because Heavenly Father is so smart and He knew we'd get hurt. And so He made us this way, this amazing way, that if we get hurt, we will get better, right? And so I try to really frame the little lessons we have within the context of our loving Heavenly Father. I try to help them to have joy in life. So it's always more fun to do something when the person who's teaching it is excited about it. And so if you go into your preschool day and you say, all right, kids, we're going to learn about dinosaurs, or whatever. You guys, I want to tell you about stegosauruses. They are so cool. Enthusiasm is contagious. Other things that are really important to teach preschoolers are pro-social behavior. That is, no, we don't hit, and hey, maybe we should wash our hands after we pick our nose, and hey, maybe we should, you know, be thoughtful. You just stole your sister's snack and she doesn't have any, right? It's just taking the time to be really intentional, which I try to do as a mom all day long, but especially during the little preschool hour, I try to be especially intentional about pointing out those pro-social behaviors we want our kids to develop. Let's see, kindness and friendship is another really important one. Pointing out in books that we read when a character was being kind or unkind, right? And being able to take a minute to have those conversations about why was that kind? What would you have done? And letting them really kind of get in a kind frame of mind, I think that's one of the most valuable things we can do with our preschoolers. Teaching our kids confidence. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Help, but there's that little phrase that this maid who's raising these babies, she tells them, she says, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. And I heard that before I had kids, and that hit me. And so I have really tried to implement with my kids. I try to make it a point to tell them that they are kind, they are smart, and they are important. And preschool is a good place to do that. Moving forward from those kind of are my overarching preschool goals, other things that are important for preschoolers to learn are gross motor skills and fine motor skills. So you want to give them plenty of opportunity to pick up a big heavy chair and move it across the floor. Now, if you just tell them to do that, they're probably going to, well, I don't know, preschoolers are pretty excited to just do what you tell them. But if you can make a game out of it, right, where you can say, hey, we're going to do an obstacle course, and I need you to carry this big heavy thing around these things and over that thing and to the other side of the house. That's a really fun way to help them develop some big gross motor skills. It's also, we love building forts, right? That's a great way because we're dealing with big couch cushions, right? And so that's a great way to help them develop gross motor skills. That just means movement of the large muscles. And interestingly, I was reading an article that was talking about how kids in kindergarten are falling out of their chairs. And how these teachers that have been teaching for decades, they were like, kids didn't do this, you know, 30 years ago. Kids didn't do this. And what they've come to learn is that kids are getting less gross motor skill development in their early years. And to grab a chair and control my feet and control my bum and control my back take some gross motor skills. And so a kid, if they haven't had the opportunity to climb up a slide and develop these gross motor skills, they're more likely to start tipping on one side, and then all of a sudden they lose their balance and they're on the floor. And I thought that was such an interesting thing. So let your kids climb up slides is the moral of that story. But also give them opportunities to develop those gross motor skills, which I would say homeschoolers probably have more of those opportunities than non-homeschoolers. But then you want to also make sure you develop the fine motor skills. Doing things like taking a tray of sand and having them trace an A, right? That's going to help them develop their fine motor skills. Taking some string or yarn and giving them a bucket of beads and having them put beads on the yarn, that's going to help them develop those fine motor skills. Giving them a thing of sequins and telling them, hey, I'm going to put a bunch of glue dots on here. I want you to put the sequin on the glue dot, right? Just simple things like that helps them to develop those fine motor skills, which are a precursor to the writing that they will be doing further down the road. You want to give them opportunities to do cross-body exercises. So I don't know if you know this, but your left and right side of your brain, they have to communicate, and when they don't, you have things like balance issues and gross motor skill issues, which is why it's really important for babies to learn to crawl before they learn to walk. When you crawl, you're crossing the brain. Does that make sense? So giving kids opportunities to have to like reach across, even doing something as simple as if you're going to give them something to write and you know they're right-handed, put the pen over here so they have to grab it, right? If you are doing crafts, making sure that things are spread out across the table that they have to reach and grab. And if you notice them just grabbing with the one side, trying to help them to being cognizant that is a beneficial thing can go a long way. And also I think kids should take care of something, whether that's a fish or a hamster or a flower they've planted or, you know, something that you don't have great value and attachment to that if it dies, you're not going to be super sad. But if it dies, then they get a good lesson about taking care of things and death and things like that. That's a really valuable thing. Like I was saying before, we have a million animals at our house. And when we started with meat rabbits, and our first rabbit that had a baby that died was really like, she had three babies and two of them died and one survived. It was our first time mama and our first litter. And she, that was really hard for our kids. And that was when I realized I need to be more intentional about introducing them to loss and death. And that just sort of happens when you're on a farm. but it's really been interesting for my kids to come to a place where they better understand that sometimes this happens, but but life goes on, and we can mourn the loss of this thing and feel bad for the mama that lost her baby, but we can also be grateful that there are these other babies that are being born. So we haven't had a big loss in our lives yet. You know, we haven't lost any grandparents or things like that. But I'm hoping that by laying that foundation now, that they will have a firmer grasp. And it's always a great opportunity to talk about the plan of salvation, right? That Heavenly Father gave these bunnies their bodies, and now they're back with Him. So those are the framework of preschool that that I've experienced and done in my life. So one thing I've noticed with my homeschool kids and also teaching in my co-op, they're like the 5 to 7-year-olds, right? So just above preschool. But it's interesting because some things that are really like second nature in preschool, like cutting and gluing, homeschool kids sometimes miss out on. So I would just advise, I would just maybe point that out, like to think about what it was you did in like, you know, public school, like cutting and gluing and learning to like, you know, cut straight lines versus wavy lines and things like that, and implement it into your preschools, because that is a thing that, I mean, it develops those fine motor skills for sure, but also they just do it a lot in public school, and we just sometimes we're reading and we're doing other things, and we just sometimes forget things like that. So that's really cool. Well, welcome to homeschooling. That's awesome. It's a lot of fun. So one thing that I think is important to figure out when you're trying to figure out what direction you want to take your homeschool is the format that you want, right? Are you wanting to just be at home with your kids, or are you wanting to kind of pull in like other preschoolers and create a co-op, understanding that the majority of them are going to go to preschool in the fall, I mean kindergarten in the fall, right? So those are different ways to do it, and there's not a right way. It just depends on what fits with your family. So where you guys have a lot going on, it would kind of be a thing to like facilitate having 10 preschoolers come to your house every week and switching around and things like that. But where she's your, you know, that's where you're at. Like, you know, you might be really excited to jump in with these other moms and kind of do this homeschool co-op. So I think that before you start looking at curriculum or trying to plan out your year, that's the number one thing you have to figure out. And if you decide you want to go the co-op route and, you know, kind of joy school it and, you know, get several moms, I think having like that mom's meeting in the beginning, to where you make sure that you're all on the same page, goes a long way, because if it's not a good fit, that's okay, right? It's better to learn it at the beginning, and making sure that, okay, do we want to have all the moms stay for all the things, or do we want this to be a drop-off situation? Again, there's no wrong answer. It's just figuring out what works for your situation. I think that preschool can be so magical because it's so child-led. And when you get a little bit older, there's more pressure to get a math curriculum, or there's more pressure to, you know, well, other first graders can read and my kid can't read, right? Like, when you're in preschool, there's no expectations. Yes, there's a framework of things that are good for your kids to learn, but it can be just like a no-pressure situation, to where if your kid wants to do math, then you help them. You provide them in an environment with a lot of counting manipulatives that they can, hey, we just got oranges at the grocery store. Let's count them as we put them in the bowl, right? If you have a kid who is super interested in reading because their big siblings are reading and they want to do it too, then you can get those little Bob books and just show them, hey, help me find all the buh sounds, right? And look, you're finding the buh sounds. That's what you do when you read, right? It's helping them develop that confidence in themselves that is going to be with them for the rest of their lives. And so I think it's really If you take nothing else out of this, please know that your preschool does not have to look like Pinterest, and your major goal is to just help your kids develop confidence. So that being said, what can we group, source, brainstorm through? I have done it every day. We are not presently doing it every day. I feel like for our family, what has fit best is having a Tuesday, Thursday, or a Monday, Wednesday, Friday situation, right? Now, some kids do better when it's a schedule thing and they can count on every morning at 11 o'clock, we're going to do this thing, right? So it depends on your kid, but every day was a lot for me. And I was a lot of like coming up with lessons and things like that, which again, they're not complicated. It was just a lot. I had other things to think about, right? So I like the Tuesday, Thursday thing. And that's a great point. And that's another really great way to set up your preschool is you have Monday be your Play-Doh day and Tuesday be your letter day and Wednesday be your animal day or Thursday, you know, like picking and just repeating it on repeat every week. What have you guys found? Do you prefer like a more structured thing or do you prefer to kind of go more loosey-goosey? What do you guys like to do? Well, so my oldest is kind of like that, and I found that that's where the circle time, like even if there is no other structure to her day, she, like when she had that, she felt like she did something, even though we were just singing the days of the week song and doing the month Macarena. Do you guys know the month Macarena? January, February, March, and April, May, and June, July, and August, September, October, November, December, 12 months in a year, right? And then the days of the week song. Do you guys know the days of the week song? The days of the week. Days of the week. There's Sunday and there's Monday. There's Tuesday and there's Wednesday. There's Thursday and there's Friday. And then there's Saturday. Days of the week. Right? So just like having that anchor point. Some days preschool was circle time talking about those songs, singing the songs, talking about the weather, and saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and then moving right into dance time. That was our preschool, right? But just that gave her, like, this is structure. I'm going to grab my chair and set it here, and we're going to do this. And, oh, my gosh, we did school. And I'm like, yeah, we did school. Yep. We totally did school. I am so glad you said that because I really hadn't even thought about the primary. We have our family come follow me manual. I hadn't even thought about really pulling up the primary ones. So that's it. We used to do the nursery manual, right? We would use that when my oldest was little. But it didn't occur to me. But duh, that's a great idea. Thank you. See, this is the power of brain shares, y'all. That's a great idea. One thing that just came to my mind that I think is I had a friend who was a literary, like the district literary whatever, and she mentioned that she was noticing more and more that kids were having a hard time, I can't remember with exactly what, but she traced it back to the fact that like parents aren't singing these rhyming songs with kids, and rhyming songs and poems and things like little nursery rhymes are so good for their brain. And so one thing I really like to make a point to do with especially my preschoolers is Hickory Dickory Dock, the mouse ran up the, and let them finish the thing, because that helps cement in their mind that it's a pre-reading skill to be able to predict what comes next, and rhymes are a really good way to do that. So that's something I would encourage you to be intentional about with your preschoolers, is giving them the opportunity to build those pre-reading skills in that way. So what's working really well for me right now, I'm going to say this and then I would like to hear your answers. For me right now, so my youngest is 4. And we do quiet time. Quiet time is an anchor point in our day. You don't have to take a nap, but leave me alone, right? So we do quiet time. So with that as an anchor point, I like to feed my kids lunch, and then I do preschool with Gwen after lunch, but before quiet time. And then she's done, and I send her to quiet time, and I do school with the girls, and then send them to quiet time. Does that make sense? And so she's getting, it's not the same as my older girls had, but she's getting some like one-on-one time where, and some days it's like 10 minutes, right? And other days it's longer. Other days it goes like 30, but like it's not a ton of time, but it's time for me to focus on filling in holes, you know, that I'm noticing that she's got. So one thing an experienced homeschool mom told me when I first started this journey. She said, your kids will learn more by playing and being bored than you could ever teach them. And I really took that to heart. So on those days where they're like, let me just go play, I'm like, great, go play. Go play. Please go play. I take a lot of comfort in that because truly, I think as moms, we stress out, oh my gosh, I'm screwing up my kids, right? They're not going to know the things they know that they need to know to move on and grow. But truly, if your kids know that Heavenly Father loves them, that their parents love them, if they know how to learn, and if they know that they can do hard things, those are the four keys to success. They will be able to bridge any educational gap that may have happened because their mom had other kids when they were four and they didn't learn, you know, XYZ thing, right? They will be able to learn those things. There's plenty of time for them to learn those things. So on those days that you're about to pull your hair out and you're wondering, what in the heck am I thinking that I can do this, please remember that, like, the Lord entrusted these kids to you because you are the perfect mom for them. They are in the spot they are in their family because that is the perfect spot they are for them. So whether it's they're the bossiest oldest kid, like my bossiest oldest kid, or they're the little forgotten one on the end that, you know, sometimes it's a while and you're like, wait, we're missing one. Where are they, right? Whichever spot they're in, that is the spot that they need to be in. They will be able to overcome anything that may or may not get skipped in preschool or later. So, you guys, preschool's fun. Don't feel like it has to be Pinterest. Just carve out time for that kid. It's that individual time that's going to go the farthest way. So if you want to chat, I've got lots of ideas. Come up and talk to me. Thank you for being in this class. You guys are wonderful, and you're going to do great things with these preschoolers. Thanks, y'all.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.